This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey guys, it's Damon from the PureCast. The New Japan PureCast is proudly sponsored by GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight from Japan to your mailbox. Check out their selection of in-stock merch like t-shirts, action figures, magazines, trading cards, or use their purchasing service to order items from Japanese websites like the New Japan Shop. Like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, GaijinCollectibles.com.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan PuroCast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday afternoon, July 23rd, at the time that we are recording this. And Damon, what a week it has been. I would say that the past 7 days have been a 4¾ star week, if I don't say so myself. And you know what? Today, as we were discussing before we hit that record button, today is a very special episode of the PuroCast because this marks the 2-year anniversary of this podcast. Can you believe that?
No. I told you flat out. I was like, I can't fucking believe it. Listen, we had to take a little break. My apologies. The shoot life kind of got in the way a little bit, and we had to take a little break. But it was really not a lot to talk about. We asked for your questions, and we got tons of people that chucked in some awesome questions. And we'll get there. We'll get there. Trust me. But not today, kids, because, yeah, this is the 2-year anniversary of the New Japan PureCast, and I couldn't be more proud. Colin, again, full marks to Colin for keeping this together sometimes. Sometimes it's held together with a little duct tape. But he does a wonderful job. So if you love the show, you love that Colin Miller. I'm just here for, you know, to add a little sparkle, add a little glitter. But with that said, yeah, G1 has been fucking rocking the house, hasn't it, Colin? I mean,
I don't know where to begin, because we have seen so many great matches that I'm just I was saying to you before we went on the air, could this be like the best first week of any G1 ever?
But we say that a lot. We say that every year, where it's like, oh shit, this is really fucking good. And you know, could it beat 2000? Like 2014 is always like that benchmark G1. But every show that I've watched, and I caught up this morning on everything, I haven't been disappointed yet. Like I haven't been, every show I'm getting out of, and I can't wait to get to the next one. So that burnout that we talked about earlier, that hasn't happened yet. And we had a little stretch there where we had shows every night. I'm pumped up, and the matchups on paper are sexy as fuck, right?
I agree, and I think last year's G1, not to say that it wasn't great, but I feel like there were some nights where it was like, okay, let's just kind of get through this, you know,
right,
a little
right
bit. But no, I haven't experienced that thus far in the 7 days that this tournament is going on. And look, folks, if we were to sit here and review the past 5 nights,
right,
this would literally be a 10-hour podcast.
Right. And Colin would text me at 9 o'clock at night being like, I can't upload the fucking show. I'd be like, edit something. I don't care.
There is an upload limit here. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go in chronological order through the first 5 nights of the G1, and we're going to kind of give you the best of, if you will, the meat and potatoes, which I had for breakfast this morning, of the G1 27. So let's start off with the first night, July 17th from Hokkaido. I thought that this was a great opening night with what a lot of people are calling the match of the tournament thus far, the main event, Naito versus Kota Ibushi. How about that Ibushi, Damon?
He's my MVP so far. Like, if I had to give a trophy for MVP. I think Kota is my winner. And there's been a lot of performances that I've been blown away with. And when we say this a lot, but when it's time, they get the tap on the shoulder and the spotlight is on them and they need to produce in a big way. There's not a guy on that fucking roster that can't do it, right? So, you know, I just got done watching Makabe and Goto, which on paper you'd be like, okay, right? I can't think of many people that were like super jazzed up for that matchup on paper. But I think they delivered as well. Now, Ibushi, not hands down, but if you look at his three matches so far, each one has been a little bit different. Each one has had its own story within a story. A lot of this being about Kota making his return and not just, you know, he's trying to prove his worth to be in this tournament, right? And the guys that have been here the whole time while he was out in his fucking learning institute.
The Uncle Paul Learning Institute.
Right, the at-home study course. You know, they're all saying, nah, fuck you. You went away. Things have changed, and here's how. I'm going to punch you in the mouth. But
did
he's
you
there.
Read Naito's comments before the start of the tournament about Ibushi?
No, what'd he say?
He was basically questioning if Ibushi belongs in this tournament because he said, where's the guy been for the past couple years? Like, what did he have, like 10 matches in WWE compared to the 150 matches that I had in the past year?
Right. He did a little DDT stuff. Let's not discount the DDT stuff, right? But yeah, that's been his storyline so far. And even within that storyline has been these individual pocket of matches that have been, quite frankly, outstanding.
And you're absolutely correct in saying that each match that he has had has been different from the last. I mean, his opponents were Naito, Zach, and as of this morning, Tomohiro Ishii. And I think that's one of the great things about this G1 roster as a whole. There's a lot of variety in there, and some of the most interesting matchups that we've seen in years. I mean, take a look at Kenny Omega versus Minoru Suzuki. Like, yeah. There's an example of a Kenny Omega match that we've never seen before.
Lots of smoke and mirrors with that one. Like, there was a lot of shenanigans and a lot of nonsense, but again, if you're going to have nonsense, you're going to have it. And guys and gals, we are going to fucking jump around all over the place. So just hang on tight.
Right? I'm going to try and steer the ship in a somewhat straight line. You know, we're going to go in order, but you know, we are going to be jumping around.
Waters. Yeah, we got choppy waters.
Right. We're going to need a bigger boat.
We certainly are. I got the reference by the way, Colin. That's
nice.
Jaws, right?
Yes,
that's Jaws, right?
Correct.
Thank you. But that match, it had that similar spot, that middle spot where, you know, you had faction interference and, you know, and then the other faction comes in to try to save the day and that. And again, I don't think it was – I don't think the two guys in there needed smoke and mirrors, but, you know, Suzuki's not – you know, he's not spring chicken anymore.
No, he's pushing 50.
Right. So, again, there's going to be some sleight of hand. And there was, but I didn't think that hurt the match at all. I thoroughly enjoyed that match. That match was a car crash to me. That match was just a lot of shit going on at the same time, and you were never bored. And none of it was offensive. Like, none of the interference was offensive to me. I was perfectly fine with it.
Can I put you on the spot here and ask you a question?
Yes.
While
please.
We're talking about that match.
Yes.
Which match was better, AJ versus Suzuki or Kenny versus Suzuki?
AJ.
Yes, I'm in full agreement because the brief run-in during that match was very brief.
Right.
This was a bit more in-depth, but with that being said, I don't think that it necessarily hurt the match, but it lasted a bit longer than I would have liked. But hey, you know, if that's the biggest thing that we're going to complain about as we talk about these five nights, then I think we're in pretty good shape.
I think there was a lot of... from what I just gathered, and I didn't look a lot online at public opinion, trust me, but a little bit that I did see, there was disappointment because people were expecting AJ Kenny or AJ Suzuki. Right?
AJ Kenny's a match I would like to see, by the way.
I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't, you know, you don't see that soon.
In Japan.
Well, at least, well, no, I mean, again, Kenny's here for at least another year, so that's good news. But I think eventually down the road you will be seeing that. I think it's inevitable. But yeah, I think AJ and Suzuki. Well, anyway, my point being was there were people that were hoping to get that type of match, and while I think the match was very good, tremendous, I wouldn't. You know, I'd give them the old PureCast 4, right? Yes. Either in the fours.
We just hand out fours like water.
They're like picking apples from a fucking tray. I would put it in there. I don't think the match is match of the year contender. I don't think we'll have that'll be in our 20 that make the cut. When it comes to year end,
the 100 that make the cut.
It's going to be
judging
tough, man.
By the way this year has been going.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I was talking to a couple people, and it is an abs. You say it all the time. It is an artistic renaissance. This is going to be one of those years that people are like when everybody listening to this gets a little older and you settle down and you have your kid and you're trying to get them into pro wrestling. This is the shit that you're going to fucking pop in. And you know, or pop in like it's a fucking VCR tape. You're gonna stream or whatever it is when it is that time.
Or you're just gonna close your eyes because you'll have that chip implanted right. In your brain, and you could just see it.
Right. That'll be the day. Oh, imagine porn then. Oh, crud. So
of course, that's the first thing you would think of.
But that's how technology advances. Seriously, you think about like virtual reality. The first thing, it's porn, right?
Yeah, everything does kind of revolve around the pornography industry.
Right. Remember when it was like dial up and you could only get like single images? And then
ever?
Right. But then the day
school
happened.
Schoolboy calling.
But then with his AOL account dialing in.
Downloading those sunny pictures.
Right. But again, then the day you could actually see like a 3-second moving clip, your head explodes. Anyway, getting back to our original point here. This is historic stuff when it comes to the match quality. It's unbelievable. All right, so first night. It was Ibushi and Naito, and that set the pace for what we have seen so far. Do you still think that holds up? Do you still think that's the best match so far?
I actually rewatched that match last night, and this might be a controversial opinion because I know this is a lot of people's favorite match of the tournament thus far. I thought it was great, but for me, it's definitely not in 5-star territory.
No.
Definitely one of the top matches of the tournament thus far. I don't know if I can say that it's my favorite.
Okay, top three?
Yeah, definitely top three. I mean, it was a great match. It was, you know, a main event that was certainly worthy of setting the tone for the rest of the tournament. And we saw Naito pick up a win there. I can't remember. Damon, did you submit your G1 Pick'em Voices of Wrestling? I'll be honest with you. I did not.
Neither did I, dude. What the fuck?
Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you why.
Because I was crazy busy and I was away, and it was just like I remember 2:00 in the morning, I turned on my fucking computer or my iPad, and I was like, ah, fuck. I got to do this. And I was probably not in a good way, and I was like, I'm looking at the goddamn. I couldn't do the drop. It was just, I didn't do it.
I sat there for an hour, right. And I just could not make all of the points work. I just couldn't make them make sense. So I just said, fuck it. I'm just gonna enjoy this tournament.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I do miss that kind of having that extra oomph in it, like having that extra rooting interest in it does make it a little bit special. And I do love beating the shit out of you. Although last year, wasn't it like 1 point?
I think that was the first year that we did the podcast, actually, because you were getting killed by that one guy's wife. I remember.
Yeah, it wasn't that one guy's wife. It was Rich Craich.
Oh, okay. That was Rich's wife.
Right, Rich's now wife, his girlfriend at the time,
okay,
was in it. Yeah, and she was fucking murdering me. And right. I'm like, I know she doesn't want. How is she? How is this happening? Who by the way, they do a podcast together now.
Do they really?
Yeah, it's a 90s podcast. It's really good. It's all about just like 90s pop culture.
Hey, I'm a kid of the 90s, so I'll definitely check that one out.
Yeah, it's like the name escapes me, but it's something 90s. It's like just about the only one out there. But yeah, look for Krejci. I listened to the first one. I was like, oh, I'm fucking all in. Go for it, kids.
Other favorite matches. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
That's all right. I'm fine. Just nonsense.
I was gonna say, we did see a lot of other great matches from night one as well. First of all, the opener, Yuji Nagata versus Yoshihashi. I thought that was very good. I mean, thus far in this tournament, Yuji Nagata, in my opinion, has been on fire.
He is not Tenzan.
No. Right?
And he is not, like, the match quality that you're getting from Yuji Nagata is, again, where he is in his career, he's going above and beyond. Now, we're not getting that, you know, miraculous run. We're not getting, for whatever reason, man, they just don't like doing that. Like, if there's like a legend and it's their last one and they announce it, man, he's putting over everybody.
That is on one of my biggest critiques of New Japan, because to me, that kind of booking doesn't really make much sense, because, I mean, you want the Liger or the Nagata or the Tenzan. I mean, I think that most people want to see them kind of go on a roll. But like you said, for whatever reason, New Japan doesn't go that route, and it looks like we are following textbook Tenzan booking here with Yuji Nagata. But like you said, the difference is that Yuji Nagata is going out there with something to prove, and he can still go. We've seen it with all of his matches thus far. I thought that the opening match with Yoshihashi kind of said that was Nagata saying, "Okay, look, I'm in the G127. I'm a contender. I'm gonna slap the shit out of some people."
Yeah. And he hasn't had I don't think he's had a bad match yet.
No.
Just getting over his match with Tanahashi.
Oh, we're going to talk about that one. I thought that was fucking great.
That was pro wrestling right there. Like, those are two just fucking pros going at it. Here's the thing with Yoshihashi, dude. And I said this to somebody. I never get excited for a Yoshihashi match. Never. But at the end of the day, when the bell rings, I almost always, in a singles match, I'm always like, that was a good fucking match. That was a good fucking match. Like, there's something about Yoshihashi that I cannot fucking just get on the board. Like, he just does, maybe it's the hair, I don't fucking know. But there is just something
about him.
He's
kind of like toast.
He's not even toast. He's more annoying than toast. He's burnt toast, right?
And it's interesting you should say that, because when we did our very first PuroCast year-end awards, and you know, we always have the write-in category, listener's least favorite wrestler.
Yeah,
I picked Yoshihashi as my least favorite wrestler 2 years ago. And then 2016 happened, and before you know it, he's most improved. So Yoshihashi is like polarizing figure in New Japan. I don't know if that's the right word.
No, he's like my mood swings. I'm either at a fucking 1 or I'm at 11.
Right,
right,
right.
Yeah, there's no 7 with Yoshihashi.
No.
There's nothing. Yeah, it's either like, ugh, fuck it. God, I hate you. Like, I look at him walking to the ring and I'm just like, I fucking hate you.
Yeah, you're annoyed almost.
I am. I'm like, I gotta watch you? Jesus Christ. Fucking Paula Deen hair, motherfucker.
And then the match turns out to be great.
Yes. But that's every time. And it's like, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know what it is. And I think that's his biggest challenge. Like, that's I think that I'm in the majority with that. I mean, I really do. And I'm speaking like I know, but I feel that way. That's like the feedback I hear, that people know he's good. People feel the same way when the match ends, but it's just that lead up to, it's just like, it's Yoshihashi, who the fuck cares? And that sucks. And that's what I'm saying. He just needs something new. Like, he needs a new look or a new style or a new, he needs to go to Mexico with you.
He needs to ditch that staff, number one.
You know what? The staff is goofy, but you know what? We sit here and we watch a fucking guy carry a sickle, a plastic sickle, right? And they haven't gotten rid of that yet. Right?
This is true. Right? Although he does have a gong at the beginning of his theme now. I don't know if you noticed that.
I have. He's upgraded. Good for him. And his lasers are still in effect. Like all the things that we were like, this is nonsense. They're going to shove it down your throat. But yeah, I don't. The staff, the hair. It might be the hair that annoys me the most. And again, I'm talking as a guy who's like, Ta-Nehisi, I love you. But you know, the fucking hair is just a little much to me. I don't know. It's just there's something about. And even in those that video package that they have before every show where they kind of introduce everybody in the blocks, right? Even that annoys me about him because he looks like he's half asleep. Like he's got like all these. His eyes are all red. It looks like he just woke up. I don't know. Something that just can't get behind.
Seeing Yoshihashi, seeing his name on the card, you get the opposite feeling of when you see like Kenny Omega's name on the card. Like it's the complete opposite feeling. But,
it is.
But like you said, when the match is over, it's like, that's a damn good match. And that's exactly what this Yuji Nagata match was. I thought it was a fine way to kick off night one of the G1. Makabe versus Fale. Look, say what you will. I thought it was a decent match.
I thought it was all right. It might be one of my least favorites of the tourney so far.
Oh, for sure. But dare I say, like, I don't know, 3.5 stars maybe?
We were quick to dismiss Togi Makabe, too. Like we sat here and, you know, I don't know what fountain of youth they have in August. I don't know what hot spring they go to, and I don't know what onsen they attend to heal their bones. But man, when it's time to go, they go. Again, it's Fale Makabe. It's hard for me to get excited about it. I thought the match was okay. I think Fale, and this is me talking, mind you. Fale could use to lose a couple pounds, because I really think his heart is going to explode sometimes. Like, I look at him sometimes.
We've been saying that for 2 years, though.
I know, but okay, eventually the ticker's going to go. This is the most ridiculous comment I'm ever going to say, but like, if you collected everyone's sweat, right, and every fool, you know, from their match, and you put it in a bucket, like, Fale just looks like he's just pouring out of him. He just doesn't look healthy. Like, I just worry about Fale. Maybe I shouldn't, but I do. I worry about him. This match was okay. This match was okay. I can't put this.
My expectations were so low, though, that by the time it was over, I was like, that was an okay match, actually. So
yeah,
there you go.
You know, that's probably it. You're probably right about that in the sense that was probably one of the ones where I was like, I gotta sit through this, and then after sitting through it, it was like, okay, that wasn't bad. I'm ready for the next plate, but it wasn't bad.
The next plate was a plate that we've had time and time again. But after we get done eating it, it's always great. And of course, I'm talking about Goto versus Ishii. I mean, here's a match we've seen 1,000 times, but like they can't when these two are in the ring together. They can't deliver any less than 4 stars.
We said that before.
It's like an impossibility for them. And boy, these two guys just got in there. They beat the shit out of each other. Goto picking up a big win with the GTR, getting his first 2 points. This was probably my second favorite match of night one.
Yeah, this was Goto is really great, man.
Goto was great this morning against Makabe.
He's, you know, we just got done talking about MVP. Goto's having, he's had some great matches. All right, let me pump the brakes. Really solid matches.
Consistent.
Right? Yeah, against, all right, Ishii is great. So, and you're right, it's hard for those, like the floor for them is 4. But he just got done with Makabe. And I'm telling you, that Makabe match, that might have been the best Makabe match I've seen in a couple of years.
I mean, at least since last G1.
Name me a great Makabe match in last year's G1.
Look, I'll be honest with you. I can't remember one Makabe match from last year's G1, but
right.
I'm sure he had some good ones. He always does.
He does, but I don't think anything of this level that we just saw. Right? And we sat here a couple weeks ago literally writing him off, or at least I did. I'm like, I don't think he's going to survive. Like, he didn't look good at all. In those tag matches, I was like, he looks like fucking shit. Well, I don't think he's going to survive.
Sometimes we forget that the G1 is almost the yearly reminder that Makabe is a great wrestler.
And there's lots of people that we could say that about, right? We could say that about Yoshihashi. We could say that about Fale. We could say that about Yuji Nagata.
Even Yoshihashi and Fale, I feel like their years as a whole, like they have more high profile matches during the year than Togi Makabe does. I mean, think about 2016. Yoshihashi, you know, high profile match with Kenny Omega fighting for the briefcase. Fale, same thing,
every you know, couple seasons he's, you know, either challenging for Intercontinental or a heavyweight shot.
Right. Other than like the tag tournament, Makabe has a pretty, you know, bland year.
Right. Yeah, he was always in the never mix. But that's true. I'm telling you, that match he had with Goto last night, and one of the best Makabe matches I've seen in at least a fucking year. And again, at his age and his body and the way it's banged up, again, we're not talking, this is not Okada Omega Dome, right? But and I got to give plenty of credit for Goto too, in this match, but really, I mean, I'm talking, and maybe I'm out of my mind, I'm talking fours, like four plus, right? I'm talking four plus where a fucking Togi Makabe match in 2017.
I could easily go 4.25 with that match he had against Goto this morning for sure.
I'm telling you. And Ishii, man. Colin, talk about an underrated fucking year for this. I mean, but he's there all the time.
We say that every year.
We really do. And that's a shame. He's just, what a fucking performer this guy is.
And the crazy thing about him is that I really can't see any signs of him slowing down.
It's amazing. I mean,
not that I've noticed anyway. I mean, he seems to still be at 11 consistently.
Right. And that doesn't matter if his shoulder is held together with tape. It doesn't matter. Like I don't think he knows any other way. And he's kind of got that Shibata thing going, you know, where you just don't know any other way. Yeah. What an amazing New Japan run he's had. Like, if you took all these guys with amazing runs, and again, Ishii is a fan favorite, and Ishii does get kind of the hardcore respect. I don't think he gets half as much credit as he deserves. He is just a fucking an anchor. Like, if you need to have a great match, Ishii, sticking him in the mix. But you could go up and down that roster, and you could say the same thing, but he's having a great year. Ugh, fucking what? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then, again, you throw in a fucking Ibushi into this mix and a Zack Sabre Jr. Fucking a great tournament.
Speaking
so
of Zack Sabre Jr., what did you think of his match against Tanahashi from night one?
There were a lot of people that were kind of iffy on it, right? I love the fact that Tanahashi tapped.
So do I. I really enjoyed this match because, again, it was a different story than we've seen in a Tanahashi match in quite some time, I think.
I love the fact that it was, okay, he's going into this match with an obvious injury. He's obviously has a strike against him. And he's going in the ring, first match, against a guy who his whole career is all about, I'm going to pick a body part and I'm just going to just dissect it, right? And I'm going to chop you down, just focusing on manipulating your body to fuck you over. Again, you're not going into this thinking, oh, well, Tanahashi's going to get hurt. He's going to rip his elbow open or his bicep in Philadelphia at a meaningless TV taping for Ring of Honor. And this is going to happen. But that first round match is just so fitting, and it was a real great way to help get Zach over. And Tanahashi, this so far anyway, does it feel to you that this Tanahashi is a more creative Tanahashi in the sense of he knows he's hanging on by his fingernails, right? Every match.
Absolutely, right? And I think that's what that has always been one of his strengths as a pro wrestler, and that's why he's one of the best of all time. I mean, he literally has to go out there and wrestle with one arm for the most part. And yeah, you're right. He finds just creative ways to do things and infuse a different mood into the match and tell a different story. And as you were saying about Zack Sabre Jr. Earlier, huge first win for him. And like, here's a guy who was a junior heavyweight in Noah, right? And he was sort of like the guy who did the pretty moves, right? He did like the pretty roll-ups and the submissions. And now Zack Sabre Jr., especially with this big first win against Hiroshi Tanahashi, he has a new danger surrounding him. Like, I feel like he really belongs in Suzuki-gun now, and I think that he's garnered a lot of respect because, like, everything that he does, like all of the joint manipulations, like, to me at least, it looks like it hurts. You know what I mean? It looks like he can do some damage, and he knows how to manipulate joints, and he knows all the pressure points. And I'm really enjoying Zack Sabre Jr. in this tournament. I'm very happy that he's a part of it. And I thought this was a different Hiroshi Tanahashi match that we've seen in quite some time. And I'm looking forward to the obvious rematch that we're going to see for the IC title. Of course, we saw the fallout after the match with Zack holding the title up. So I think we're looking at a good maybe a destruction main event, or maybe even a King of Pro Wrestling match.
Yeah, I'm down for that. There are people that don't like his style, and we're talking about Zach. I dig it. I really do. I find it like it's really entertaining to me. Like I just love the creativity of how he could just wrap his legs around and wrap his arms around and pull back.
There's no one else like him right now.
I mean, there's people of that same ilk.
This roster though.
He is unique, and I think the only other person that is kind of in that world would be a Suzuki, but I still think it's different. I like that a lot, and again, I like the idea of Tanahashi kind of just knowing that he's in peril and he's in danger, and he is every match is a slippery slope for him because he's not going to be five-star Tanahashi. He just doesn't have that in him right now with the injury, so he's got to find creative ways to squeak out wins. I mean, he gets a fucking count out win over Fale, right?
That's true. That was the July 21st show, I believe.
Yeah, so that to me, I think that was an interesting creative way to give Tanahashi a win, not give Fale a loss, right? But and again, at the same time, kind of just re-emphasizing the fact that Tanahashi's on a very thin ice with that arm, and it could go south at any point. And him just like going all and ball and almost playing some, again, we talked about this before, we enjoy that somewhat subtle heel Tanahashi, right? And to me, getting a win in a count out fashion isn't as what's the word I'm looking for, Colin? Not as I won't say as strong,
emphatic.
But it's not, yeah, maybe that's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, you know, a count out win. It I don't want to say it's cheap, but again, he got out of there by the hair of his chinny chin chin.
He stole one.
Yeah, definitely stole one. And I like this, that little story that goes into each Tanahashi match.
And we did see the fans throwing him a lot of shade, as the kids say, in that Yuji Nagata match.
They did, yeah. They really wanted Yuji Nagata to pull out the win on that one. Which again, I thought that was going to happen. I really did going into the Yuji Nagata Tanahashi match. I really thought that's where Tanahashi would pick up a loss as well. Did you see a picture of Tanahashi's arm after that Zack Sabre Jr. match?
I did not, actually.
Kyle, it was fucked.
Was it?
Yeah, it was jacked up. And lots of people were like, look, just take off, Tanahashi. Just rest up. You don't have, you know, it's that mentality, man. And again, I don't know how bad it's hurt. But.
Well, even Meltzer has been saying as of late, like, dude, get that surgery.
It's G1 season, man. It's that mentality. And he's carrying the second biggest strap.
Let's say Tanahashi has to drop out of this tournament. I mean, you know, hopefully that his arm isn't that bad. But let's say that happens. What do we do then?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like there were a couple Nakamura matches that he had to forfeit, right?
That's right.
There's been injuries in the past where they've had to, you know, bail out. People have had to bail out and basically forfeit their matches, and everybody gets, you know, the points that in that match they would have had. Where do you lean on this? Do you think you could still go?
I think, well, I mean, we've been saying this for the past 2 years. Like, it seems like he's always hurting, you know, and we're always worried, and he always comes through. So,
right.
We
didn't know the severity before, though, right? We knew
that's right.
He's always banged up. He's always, again, we held together by tape.
I think we have to give him the benefit of the doubt, though. I mean, the fact that he's saying, like, look, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to wrap up my arm, but it's going to be fine, it's going to be okay. I mean, we have to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Do we?
I'm going to.
All right. But again, are we giving Shibata the benefit of the doubt?
Hindsight
2020? And
that's a good point. Look, only Hiroshi Tanahashi knows how he's feeling, and he knows his body. He knows his limitations. So you just have to put faith in him, and you have to trust him that he is doing the right thing for him. That's all you can do.
I do subscribe to that. I do subscribe to that. He's an adult. But when you get into that athlete mind frame, you know, of, hey,
push myself.
I play hurt. This is what I do. This is what happens. This is, you know, this is part of the, this is part of the job description. Whatever that means. But you know, that's what, let's put it this way. That's what being a pro wrestler means to him. Right. That's how he was raised and brought up. And again, I'm sure some of that is a culture thing. And he does have a drive that many people don't have. But there has to, I would think that there would be some, let's put it this way. Tanahashi bails out. Is that going to impact anything in the G1?
I don't think, well, you know what? It's funny because I was going to ask you a question. Do you think that there is any chance that Tanahashi goes to the final? And
No.
I'm talking last match, G1 final.
No.
Okay.
I don't. Because here's the thing, they don't have to. You know what I mean? They have so much talent. They have so many people they can go to.
It's a stacked roster, to say the least.
No doubt. And even within that stacked roster, they have so many storylines and sub-storylines that they could pull from at any time. Tanahashi not being in the G1 is not going to mean dick all. It really isn't. And this is coming from me.
A man who is on film embracing Hiroshi right. Tanahashi longingly, lovingly.
Yes.
I mean, we have video evidence of that.
Photos and video. It's there. But my point being is that it doesn't mean anything in G1. Him bailing out. Now, he's got the title. But again, you mean to tell me a Naito can't grab that fucking title again? An Elgin can't grab that title again?
Zack Sabre Jr.
I mean, listen, that's your second most important title, right, in the company. To me, it has to be somebody who can draw a house. And as much as I like Zack Sabre Jr., he's not drawing a fucking house. You know what? I say that. What the fuck do I know?
Right.
You know what I mean? On paper, it sounds ridiculous to put the title on Zack Sabre Jr. and tell him to go fucking sell out a building. To me, on paper, it sounds ridiculous. But truth be told, what the fuck do I know? You know, maybe the promotion's so red hot that, you know, I mean, we're not talking 90s red hot, mind you, but they're you know, they're hotter than they were before. Putting a title on him, like, what would it matter?
A few final thoughts. about Naito versus Ibushi from night one before we move on here, because we do have to. Two spots I want to ask you about that I think you know what they are. Ibushi did the lawn dart gimmick with Naito.
That was great.
And he did the backwards pile driver from the middle rope. Now, he's doing these things to one of the company's hottest guys, a guy who a lot of people have pegged to win this whole kit and caboodle and go on and main event the Dome. Do you do things like that?
Well, I mean, I'm not like the pile spot. I did cringe. The dart, I didn't cringe.
Okay.
But the pile, I kind of was like, oh, fuck. You know, one slight wrong move, and we're looking at paralysis here. But you could say that about just about any pro wrestling move, to be truthful, right? So, no, I mean, I'm not worried about dangerous spots like that in the sense of don't do that to Naito because if he gets hurt. I mean, here's the thing, too. I don't think you can have that mentality, right? They're going to do crazy shit, and that's what we want to see it to a certain degree. We appreciate it. Do I want to see them fucking clunk heads together? No, but I'm okay with a pro wrestling move. I mean, accidents happen, but again, it's pro wrestling. You know, people get hurt on a hockey rink, and people get hurt on a soccer pitch. Again, they're not jumping off of a top rope pile driving somebody, but you get my point, right? So no, I don't have a problem with those particular spots.
What are you thinking of our boy Juice this tournament? I think he's doing great, and I thought that his first match against Kojima, I thought that was really good, and a nice big first win for Juice in this tournament against, you know, a solid competitor, you know, a former IWGP heavyweight champion, Triple Crown champion. I thought that was a good decision.
I'll tell you what, I'm more excited for a Juice match right now than I am for a Tama Tonga match. And I never thought I would say that.
I'm right there with you, although we are going to talk about a match that Tama Tonga had against Kenny Omega, which I was quite fond of. But yeah, while we're on the subject of Juice. I'm in full agreement. This guy's been killing it.
He has been absolutely fucking killing it. And I think even the naysayers at this point, and again, we kind of got on the Juice bandwagon somewhere in the middle, right? I think even the people who have still to this day hand waving Juice, they're missing the boat. They're fucking missing the boat. What? I don't know. Could he possibly win Most Improved 2 years in a row?
I don't think that Juice won Most Improved for 2016. I believe it was Yoshihashi.
Fuck that. We were wrong.
Well, hey, look, the fans
and
voted.
Everybody else was wrong. Well, whatever. We should have fucking rigged it. Because Juice is what a fucking G1 he's having. He's going to be on the losing side more often than not. But to get a big win, and you know he was appreciating that fucking win. Do you see him after that match?
Absolutely. I mean, think about the journey that this guy has been on. And if you go back and you listen to when Juice first came to New Japan, you listen to some of those older Purocast episodes.
Oh,
boy, did we. We buried Juice at some points. We were like, why the fuck is this guy here? Like, what is he doing in New Japan? And now we know.
Again, the biggest complaint you can have about this show, besides me, is our lack of patience. And which is looking back in hindsight, it's like, wow, what a fucking journey this kid has been on, right? What a fucking ride. And it has been a slow burn, and it has been a gentle progression. I mean, let's be truthful. If this were any other fucking promotion, he'd be in a Punjabi death match right now, right?
A Punjabi prison match.
Right. So, again, speaking of non-patience, there you go. But what a ride he's been on. It's it makes it more enjoyable, and it makes being a fan of this product more enjoyable, because those little nuggets grow slowly. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. I think he's been fantastic this G1. I look forward to his matches. Who does he got next? Do you know?
I don't have that up right now at the moment.
You knew that was coming, right?
Yes.
I was just gonna throw some random fucking. Give me Juice Robinson's next opponent now. I'm on board with Juice, man. I am on board with the Juice. I like his jacket too. That's a pretty rad jacket he's got. It's like sprite painted, like it's like a multicolored. I don't know, but very very Takahashi-ish. Takahashi's more punk rock. That's more.
He's more grimy and
groovy. Yeah.
Oh, actually, Juice is facing Minoru Suzuki in his next match on the 25th. That should be an interesting match.
I don't, you know, listen, I know pro wrestling's a work. Listen, I'm not an idiot.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry. But I'm sorry, man. Fucking Suzuki scares the living piss out of me.
You and me both.
Imagine standing in a ring seeing that motherfucker come in. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so Juice has that to look forward to. A couple other notes from night two. What did you think of Sonata and Evil?
Right.
I thought it was great. I'll tell you what, and I'm probably going to get a bit of flack for this.
Uh-oh.
I thought it was a bit sloppy.
Get ready, Reddit. Here we go.
I found it to be a bit sloppy in some points, okay? Just a little bit sloppy in some points.
Like missed moves or just out of place?
A little bit of that. For example, when Sonata did the moonsault. I think it was the AJ move. You know how he does the moonsault. He's in the ropes, does a moonsault over his opponent and catches him in that reverse
neckbreaker thing.
Position. I thought that was a little bit out of place. But again, I'm being very nitpicky with that. Sonata getting a big win over
match.
Evil. Yeah, I thought it was a very good match. What do you think of Sonata's new getup?
The mask, almost very Muda-esque, isn't it?
Almost Tenzan-esque, if you ask me, with the horns.
I see a lot of Muda. I see a lot of Muda in that mask.
I kind of dug the skull, but...
I feel like we could just copy and paste the superlatives that we're giving everybody. But how impressed have you been with Sonata and even with Evil? There's not a guy... I'm flat out. I mean, listen, if you're listening to this show, you've seen these matches.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are probably echoing similar things at what we're saying, but there's a guy in this roster that doesn't have their working shoes on right now. These are really great matches. And the intrigue of the Los Ingobernables versus Los Ingobernables was very cool. Like, that whole night had some interesting matchups. I liked Sonata and Suzuki. I thought that was good.
You know, interesting thing I want to say about Sonata. I was listening to Meltzer and Alvarez had an interview. I think it was last week. They had Kenny Omega on the show again, and Omega was talking.
He hasn't done our show, has he?
He has not done our show yet. But we've still got a ways to go here, people. You know,
he promised. He said he would.
He did promise us in Vegas last year. But anyway.
Times have changed, though. he's going to be like, Puro, what? I don't know who you are.
He was talking about Sonata, about how talented he is, but he made the remark that he said something to the effect of, I think that Sonata just needs to start believing in himself. He doesn't really believe in himself. So I thought that was kind of... interesting to hear the perspective on Sonata from one of the top, pro wrestlers in the world right now. But yeah, I think that this is a real coming out party for Sonata. I mean, he did have a good tournament last year, but now I feel like, he's got a bit of a fresh coat of paint on, got a new look, and I think he definitely has something to prove, because here's a young, athletic, talented guy who I see great things for later on in the year.
I mean, my only problem is that right now, he's going to have six or seven opportunities to have great singles matches. My fear is that sometimes you get a loaded roster like this, and I don't want to say you get lost in the shuffle, but you get lost in the shuffle, right? Look at it as an example. I don't think 2017 is necessarily Sonata's year of a big breakout. But I think it's the beginning of a breakout. Because, again, New Japan does seem to take their time when it comes to these kind of things, right? Unless something major happens to the roster, which I don't foresee. So it's going to be a little bit of slow burn. So I think it's going to be something that it's going to require a little bit of patience on everyone's part. But, yes, I do see that. Here's an example. Look at a year like Michael fucking Elgin, right? Look at the year Michael Elgin has had so far this year and the great matches he has had. Literally great matches. I mean, just in Long Beach against Kenny Omega. This match later on we'll talk about against Okada, which was outstanding.
That match with Okada, I gave full marks.
Wow.
I thought it was that good. I thought it was great.
All right, we'll get there. Matches with Naito. He's got any time that you ask Michael Elgin to put out a performance, the guy is right fucking there. Great matches. Under the radar.
Absolutely.
He's really under the radar.
He is.
You put his matches in any other promotion and
match of the year.
Yeah, I mean, he has match of the year contenders, but in this crazy fucking year of 2017, like those great matches that would be on anyone's must watch and anyone's top matches of all time. You know, you had like a top 25. This year has just absolutely been balls ass crazy. And those great matches, you know, they get covered up in the sand a month later because there were 3 months other great matches.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about that fabulous match that Elgin had with Naito from New Beginning, I think it was, back in February. Right. I mean, that's a match that I think people forget. They don't remember how good that was.
Right, because he's had two other great matches after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So like, here's my biggest fear. And we have the best fucking fans in the world, but here's a general, because I'm the same way. You forget about these matches in February and March and April, right? And it feels like it's going to come down to, okay, what was the best match that I just recently saw, right? What was the best match that I just recently watched? And that's going to be like my match of the year. Even though like Dominion and the Dome is going to be tough to fucking beat. But man, I'm telling you, it's like Sonata's going to have some more great matches this G1.
Keep your eye on Sonata versus Okada. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Keep your eye on that.
I mean, I don't think many people are going to have a tough time, you know, forgetting that that's right around the road. Everybody's pumped for that. It's, again, he's not going to, I say that, but I don't foresee like an Intercontinental title. I don't foresee a never title in 2017.
I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong.
New Japan's, listen, people can, dude. What's the ceiling for Sonata?
What's the ceiling for Sonata? Main eventer.
Dome?
I'm not ready to say that right now.
Do you think he's an IWGP heavyweight championship material?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. I mean, look, he's got all the tools. He's big. He's athletic. He's got a certain presence. He's a great worker. Let's talk about Dome main events after this G1 is over. I'm not ready to give that kind of a commitment to Sonata right now, but yeah, is he IWGP Heavyweight Championship material? Yeah, for sure. And I think you're going to see that in the Okada match.
Not many guys are.
I know. Look at the few
people who held it.
Right. We got Tanahashi, Okada, AJ, and Naito.
You don't got Nakamura.
Nope.
You don't got. Right?
This is true. Right. But, you know, just hang in there. Hang in there with Sonata. I think we're the best is yet to come in 2017 for Seiya Sonata. So, moving on, we did talk about the Suzuki versus Omega match. I think that the general consensus was that the interference kind of slowed it down a little bit, but other than that, I mean, a Kenny Omega match that I don't think that we have seen anymore, because again, Suzuki, he just brings that, you know, visceral, I'm gonna slap the shit out of you, I'm gonna break your ankle.
Yeah.
he, he brings that. Nobody else brings that. And I'm very happy to have him back in this tournament.
To me, he's one of the best heels. Like, to me, that's a heel. Like if we had
as the crowd is singing his theme song in unison.
Right. That's a good
it's
point.
A great heel, Damon.
All right, good point.
One of the biggest baby faces on the roster.
Fuck me, right? All right, good point. But still, I mean, to me, that's
I know what you're saying.
You know, watching him do what he does, like, to me, that's a great heel.
He should
that's
be a heel.
I mean, you would think. Maniacs over there, Cork, and all clapping along that fucking song while he's beating the shit out of young boys.
Pushing them to the ground for no reason.
Oh, right, just being a big bully. You know, big bully. All right. So that's that. What else we got, Colin? We're all over the map here today.
I know, and we did warn our listeners that was going to be the case just because of the sheer volume of matches and shows. So, you know, I apologize if we didn't get to your favorite match. You know, if your favorite match was Okada versus Yano, I'm sorry about that.
But that was pretty cool, though. You didn't like that?
No, I thought that was fine. Look,
I like that. I like that a lot, actually. I like the dynamic of that. I like here's the thing with Yano. He's in that fucking G1 to give you heart palpitations.
I didn't have that though at all in this match. Not one bit.
Not
Damon,
once?
No.
He didn't fight for one of them.
No, not for a single one. Damon, come on.
He did it against Tanahashi.
Yeah, but this is Tanahashi wasn't on the run that Okada's on right now.
I get you that, but New Japan to literally shock the world.
No, that would have been that would have been bad business, quite frankly.
I agree. I agree.
No,
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I know. But
you didn't bite for any of them. I'll sit here and admit I don't give a fuck. I bit. There's one that I did.
Wow.
I'm a mark. Remember?
No, that is true. You know what's funny too? When Kevin Kelly was talking about us the one time, and this was in the infancy of the Don Callis commentary, he was talking about us, and I think Callis said like, "Oh, what are those two marks?" He said something like that. It was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, I know.
This was a while back.
I know. I'll stop spending all my money on New Japan stuff, guys.
Please do. No.
Seriously. All right.
No, but I thought that was a fine match, though. Okada versus
I've enjoyed every one of Yano's matches. I've enjoyed every one of them.
Let's talk about night three here. I know. I'm sorry. I've got to keep this train a rolling here, Damon. I apologize.
Okay. My bad.
Night three saw another good Yuji Nagata match against Hirooki Goto. That was the opener. Nagata taking another fall.
He's 0-4 right now.
Yeah, yes, he is. And Yuji Nagata currently has 0 points, but that was a good match against Goto. I think we can both agree.
Absolutely, I think I think Goto has been underrated in this. He's had some performances. I still can't get over why they don't give guys wins in their last run. I mean,
it doesn't make sense at all to me.
I mean, the theory is that these guys are a step faster, a step younger, a little bit stronger, a little less beat up, a little less, you know, whatever. And logic would say that, you know, at this point in a person's career versus another person, at that point in the career, that logically they would have a step up. Listen, I think we sat here and said Nagata was going to play the role of a spoiler come finals, right?
Nagata, I'm not sure if he's... I see Goto playing spoiler for sure. I think he's going to spoil Ibushi.
You don't think... You think Nagata is going to just get a meaningless fucking win somewhere in the middle of nowhere?
Damon, like that's how he's going to get his win? That's what happened with Tenzan. That's what happened with Liger.
Liger beat Taichi.
That's what I'm saying. He got one big win.
But okay, so that's what I'm saying. So you think that's where we're going with Nagata? He's going to get one big win?
Yeah, he's
going
to beat Fale.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's just how they do it. And to me, I'm not saying it's as bad as this, but to me it's almost like, you know how when WWE, if you're wrestling in your hometown, you're going to lose?
Right.
It's almost the equivalent of that, but not quite as stupid. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's... it's whatever. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. That's how they do things, though. And yeah, that's what I think. That's where we're going with Nagata. He's going to get the big win against the big monster, and that'll close out his G1.
Yeah.
But
that's a shame.
Well, no. I mean, look at the bright side, though. Look at the quality of Nagata matches that we've had thus far. I mean, I think at the end of this tournament, there's certainly gonna be more memorable Nagata matches than there were Tenzan matches, or dare I say, Liger matches from Best of the Super Juniors. I know that's a hard one for you to admit.
Really kicking me in the groin there, Kyle.
I'm sorry.
You're probably right. All right.
Another match that we've seen a 1,000 times before. I know. I'm just kicking you in the dirt today. I apologize. Match we've seen 1,000 times, but it's always entertaining. Makabe versus Ishii. You didn't dig this match, huh?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
It
was just there?
It was a little bit better than it's just there, because Ishii's amazing, and I could watch him just knock the piss out of it.
Did something bad happen to you during this match, Damon?
No!
You can tell me.
No, you would have gotten a random text.
Right, you're right.
No, you really are hyped on this match?
I'm not hyped on it. I'm just saying we've seen it 1,000 times, haven't seen it lately, but it was just kind of a nice reminder, like, oh yeah, Ishii and Makabe beating the shit out of each other is fun.
Yeah. Listen, I'm totally down with that. Yes. Without question.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it was match of the night or even a match that we're going to be talking about at the end of the tournament, but it was, you know, your prototypical Ishii, Makabe, we're going to, you know, two big bulls or gonna beat each other up. I'm all in on that. Any day of the week. Yeah.
If they had a match tomorrow, you hyped?
Well, I don't want. See, not
like a feud over the fucking never title again. Would you be hyped?
Well, no.
Okay.
I'm saying, like, in the context of this tournament, that's always gonna be an enjoyable match.
Yes.
Damon disagrees. He's like, fuck Makabe and Ishii.
No, listen, I gave Makabe full props. I mean, he Makabe got more props this show than he's gotten the entire run of this goddamn show, right? It was a good match. Maybe I felt like the things that you're talking about and the things that you're bringing up, maybe that's how I felt, and maybe I kind of feel like, I don't, not in a negative way, but in a, like, a, yeah, you're right. You know, that's fine. It was fine. You're exactly right. It was fine for what it was.
A match that was more than fine was Kota Ibushi versus Zack Sabre Jr. Again, a different kind of Kota Ibushi match than we've seen. I thought this was great.
Yeah, you texted me. And you were like, this might be my fucking favorite match of the century.
I did.
Yeah. I mean, these are two Colin guys that are in there, no doubt. Is he your MVP? Because I went with Ibushi. Do you think Zach's your MVP?
I wouldn't say he's my MVP. What's the term that I'm looking for? That's
guy that you masturbate to.
It's not... Hey,
I'm just saying. I mean, I think he's. Again, what I like about what he does is he brings a different flavor to the mix. He absolutely brings a different, something unique and different. And look, he can make an armbar fucking interesting.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Actually, you know what? I was thinking of this analogy. Maybe this is going to be a stupid analogy, but Zack Sabre Jr. is almost like that hip, cool math teacher that you have in high school where, like, you know, nobody likes math. Math sucks, but, like, he makes it fun somehow. Like, Zack Sabre Jr. is the hip math teacher. He makes this world of sport, you know, grapple style. He makes it fun.
Okay. Listen, I took me a while to get around to it. I was like, where in the fuck is he going with this?
I was thinking about this all this past week, actually. Zach is the hip math/chemistry teacher.
All right. Okay. that you fall in love with, right? Well. No? Okay, just making sure. No, but that's, like, again, he can make an armbar interesting. He can make an ankle lock interesting. And I like this match. I think they work together well. I think we'll see more of them two together, by the way.
I have to say, you know, Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Fale, we always talk about how Tanahashi is like that one guy that can pull the very good to great matches out of Fale. This was one of their worst matches, I think.
Huh.
Not a whole lot of drama going on here, in my opinion.
Well, I think the finish... What did you think of the finish? Did the finish leave you flat?
It kind of did. I you know, there was no, but Fale's going to hit the bad luck fall. Tanahashi's struggling. There was none of that.
I like this match a little bit more than you did.
Okay.
Again, I like the fact that this was all about Tanahashi clinging on for dear life, knowing that he's in the ring with a fucking monster and a beast. He just got done getting his arm ripped out of his socket by Zach. He knows he's in a bad way. Can't afford another loss. And he's going to pick up a dirty, cheap, somewhat un-Tanahashi-like win. And almost react like he, you know, won the title at the Dome.
He should have started doing the yes with his hands in the air.
Right, but that's...
Get some cheap heat.
And here's the thing, too. Even the fans at Corkin were kind of like, huh? That's... Not really an emphatic win. Because, you know, when you're hearing the ring announcer give out the count, 16, 17, and you're like, all right, well, Fale, you're a big boy. You better start getting up at 17 because anything past that, you're going to be close on time.
Well, we'll say this. We haven't seen a count out finish in a while, I feel.
I think G1 last year you saw one.
Okay.
Right? Wasn't there one? I'm almost certain there was. Yeah, you're good for one a year, right? You're good for one a year.
I do like when they do that, though, because, I mean, one of the complaints that a lot of people have about reoccurring spots in New Japan is that countout spot that you were just talking about, how both opponents roll back in suddenly at 19. And it's like, right. Man, I just want somebody to get counted out already so that that spot can sort of mean something again. So I guess to that point, I'm kind of happy with the outcome of this match. But the match as a whole by itself, just not one of my favorite Tanahashi Fale matches. That's all.
Okay. Now I'm going to say something. We've been saying that a lot recently about Tanahashi, haven't we? Not one of the best. Not one of the best performances. I mean, listen, he was in the ring with fucking Billy Gunn, mind you.
He was. You were there.
He shouldn't be in the ring. Is that what we're trying to say?
I don't think it's any secret that that's been my opinion for quite some time now. I mean, I was talking to you privately a while back, and I was saying, what did he need to do? Like, after he had that Dome match with Naito, like... He should have been off until Dominion, period.
And that was even before the injury.
Right. He should have taken... There's no need to be going to wrestle at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia, you know.
No.
Come on.
Look. Give me odds. Give me odds that he makes it through this tournament.
I think he's gonna make it through.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
He's just gonna. I think that the matches aren't going to be. It's gonna be a different Tanahashi match than you're used to. I think even the Naito match, at the end.
Okay. Do you think he's saving himself?
For marriage? no.
He's gonna get stabbed in the back by a girlfriend again.
Is he saving himself? Kind of.
Because here's the thing, I don't think these matches are terrible, Colin.
No, they're not. I mean, there's never a terrible Hiroshi Tanahashi match. I mean, even the Billy Gunn match was okay.
I mean, okay is even being generous, but okay.
he's definitely being cautious.
Okay.
He's being very cautious.
You think there's stuff in the tank?
Oh, yeah, I think there's stuff in the tank, definitely.
You think he's in the mix in the finals?
Yeah, point-wise, yeah, he'll be in the mix. I think that his match with Naito, there will be a lot riding on that.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Look,
you don't sound as confident as I do.
What I'm having struggles with is I don't see the fucking point. I don't see the point in this.
Okay.
Like, why are you going to do this to yourself? Knowing full well that, honestly, I don't see him in the mix. He's not going to be in the mix in the finals. And again, there's so many different ways around it that he doesn't have to be here. He could rest. He could get surgery. It's not that big of a fucking deal at this point. I don't know. And maybe it's a selfish thing on my part, but I don't want to see 3.5-star Tanahashi.
We've been getting that a lot.
Okay.
I have a theory that once he changed his music,
that was it.
His career kind of took like a
like
bit
Samson
of,
cutting his hair. Right?
Yeah, right. His career kind of took a bit of a left turn. Once high energy went away, boy.
That was it, huh?
You know what? I was thinking this morning that the Go Ace theme, like, that is going to be in, like, the biggest disappointment category during the end of year. No, I'm serious. It is.
You think so?
Yeah.
You might be right.
I still have not gotten into that.
No, I don't know anybody who has. I really don't. I don't know anybody who has. I don't know anybody who's like, I'll take the Go Ace over high energy.
That was just a... you know what it sounds like, too? You know how, like... I hate to say this. I don't even
Let's
know
hear
where,
it. Where. No, do it because you gave that most awesome math teacher analogy in the entire world.
Yeah.
I don't know where you could fucking go from here, but do it.
You know how, like, you know, you've got your Kojimas and your Nagatas and your Nakanishis.
Uh huh.
They kind of their entrance music kind of has like a similar mood. And
like a slowdown,
And like okay. Tanahashi's new theme, this Go Ace, is almost like it kind of has a similar mood to like the Kojimas and the Nakanishis of the world. Like, is he moving towards that category?
I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. I don't think it's going to happen next year. But, I mean, I know that's the original. I think that's the trajectory where we're going, right?
This sounds stupid, but that theme song is not a superstar theme.
It's horrible.
When
high energy is very iconic.
It is,
and you knew what you were getting with that. And maybe it is symbolic of him taking it and the next step into his career. But it's shit, right? You don't get fucking hyped hearing Go Ace. You don't. No one does.
You kind of cringe almost.
What's your favorite theme? I know somebody asked this question, and again, we'll get all your questions answered because...
Yeah, somebody even wanted us to do a podcast with this other show about New Japan themes. But
yeah, well, there's a Voices of Wrestling themes. The podcast does... It's all about music. It's all about wrestling music. Right. I thought it was a really creative idea, actually. I was like, yeah, I would fucking do that in a heartbeat.
For sure.
They got a hold of me.
It's got to be Suzuki.
Suzuki's is great.
Yeah.
Mine is, my all-time is Ricky Choshu's.
Okay.
That almost fucking 1982 Depeche Mode-ish fucking theme.
I would have thought Terry Funk would be your favorite theme.
That pew, bam, bam.
I love that.
Stan Hansen's is pretty cool. That dun 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 dun.
Oh, yeah.
Dun.
That's a good one.
That's pretty cool. But my favorite current roster one, Kushida.
Yeah, you know, I did know that about you. That Kushida's is your favorite theme.
Fucking love that Kushida one, man. I get hyped as shit listening to that. Yeah, I could take on the world listening to that thing. I love it. Fucking love that. All right, so there you go. There's our theme of the day. Very good.
Final match for the 21st. Again, here's that Yoshihashi match. We see Yoshihashi versus Naito on paper, and we're like, all right, you know, this will be a match. And then when the match is over, it's like, oh yeah, that was great.
Yep.
that's the Yoshihashi effect.
It really is. I mean, I know, I don't want to beat the dead horse over Yoshihashi, but that's exactly what it is. And I guess that speaks volume to what he can do in the ring, because again, when it's done, I'm like, that was a great match, way to go Yoshihashi. But again, two nights later, I look at the lineup and I think, see whoever versus Yoshihashi, and I'm like, fuck, and it just is what it is. And I don't know how that can get changed, but it just is what it is.
I don't know how that can get changed either, but I know how you can get changed into some authentic New Japan merchandise shipped straight to your door directly from Japan. Damon, are you aware of this?
I am, but I can't stop laughing. That was the greatest segue ever.
I'm talking about GaijinCollectibles.com. Number one source for all Puro merch shipped straight to your door from Japan.
What a joy it is that we have Gaijin Collectibles in our lives, ladies and gentlemen, that wherever you may live, you're going to get that Japanese pro wrestling merchandise straight from Japan, straight from the promotions, straight to your door. What a world we live in. What a time to be alive, as the kids say.
You could even get like a Loose Explosion t-shirt if you want.
And wear it with pride, right? Yeah. Wear that out to dinner, right, with the missus?
I would.
Why wouldn't you? Of course. It's GaijinCollectibles.com. That's where we all turn for our Puro merch, and we hope that you do the same, because, again, it's authentic merchandise shipped straight to your door. The ease, hassle-free, good people at Gaijin. What else can be said about them? We talk about them every week. Why? Because we believe in their service, and we feel that you should too. So if you're looking for the Puro merch, look no further. It's GaijinCollectibles.com, Colin.
Alrighty, so let's move on to the July 22nd show from Korakuen. We're going to jump around a little bit here. My mind right now is on the Omega Tama Tonga match, and I'm going to make a statement here. I'm going to see if you agree with it. I think that Omega versus Tama Tonga was the best Bullet Club versus Bullet Club match that we've ever seen.
Trying to rack my brain and think of what Bullet Club matches. And the only other one that really sticks out in my mind is like a Fale.
Right. Like AJ versus Fale match. Like, in other words, this was a serious match.
Well, it turned into it. But I will say this, that I hated the way it ended. So in the beginning, it's like Tama Tonga is literally motherfucking Kenny Omega, right?
Literally.
Not literally, but you know what I mean. That would be really awkward if that were the case. I mean, he was like, the elite is bullshit. What do you mean you're the leader of the Bullet Club? You know, this is your nonsense, this, that, and the other thing. They have their match, and then they make up and kiss in the ring, right? And it's like, there was a lot of fucking shit being thrown around between you two, and now all of a sudden that's made up?
Well, like, Tama Tonga didn't want to, you know, look, he lost, and he was like, all right, I can't pull the trigger all the way now that this guy beat me. So, you know, I'm going to.
But see, so you're Kenny Omega, and you're like, okay, you said all this crazy shit about me. You talk smack about the elite. You don't think I'm a great leader. Let's too sweet in the ring.
Well, if I'm Tama Tonga, I would say to them, well, you know, I'm just trying to light a fire under your ass and, you know, make this a.
Like, I would have actually liked it if they followed through with that and was like, Tama Tonga was like, no, go fuck yourself. I'm on my own.
What were we talking about earlier with patience?
True. Okay. Listen, I think at the end of the day, Kenny Omega is, you know, I say it would make sense for him to not be Bullet Club. And the elite kind of do their own thing, and Cody Rhodes being in that mix as well,
and we're setting the stage for that.
Yeah, I think these are little seeds.
Another seedling, another piece of the puzzle. I'm okay with it.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. It just on the surface, looking at it, you're just like, okay, well, that didn't make much sense. What do you think of Tama Tonga's performance? Now, again, here's a guy in the interviews and the press conferences where he's like, I've been here 7 fucking years. I don't give a shit about the. Did you hear that interview?
I'm not sure which one you're referencing.
The presser that was before the tournament. So
what did he say in a nutshell?
Basically, I don't give a shit about the G1. I got nothing to prove to no one. I got nothing to prove to the fans. I got nothing to prove to New Japan. It's the same tired bullshit who's people who've been in this tournament and leading this company. And truth be told, it's Bullet Club that resurrected New Japan. And it didn't come across as you know, it came across as, and I put this in the giant air quotes, the pro wrestling shoot.
Bit shooty.
Yeah, bit shootish. I guess you had to hear it. Truth be told, I was just like, okay, whatever. It really had no real true impact on me. Like, it wasn't like, it was like, oh my God. Like, everybody's like, oh my God, Tama Tonga's speaking the truth and blah, blah, blah. Just kind of like, okay.
It wasn't like when Naito cuts a promo about, you know, the higher ups in the company and people who, you know, it wasn't like that.
It was in that same ilk. Like,
but it didn't have the same effect, was what you're saying.
Because here's the thing. At the end of the day, to me, it's, okay, great. Show me what you got in the ring.
I think he has. I think, really? You know, we always talk about how we like to see, like, Tama Tonga's specialty is to be that slippery eel. That's the term that I've coined here on the Purocast. We've certainly seen slippery eel Tama Tonga in this tournament. I thought that this match against Kenny Omega, I thought this was one of his best matches that he's had as a singles competitor in New Japan. It was short, but I thought it was really good, and there was even a point where I was saying to myself, you know what, Omega might be defending this U.S. title against Tama Tonga once he beats him.
What am I missing? I'm not feeling the eel.
It's because you. It's because.
You, I want that audio isolated.
You see Tonga Loa's face.
Listen.
It has to do with God.
Because I'm all like to me.
See, I thought Tama Tonga looked like a badass in this. I really did.
You're loving the Tama Tonga.
I'm pro Tonga.
Okay.
Not so much pro Loa, but pro Tonga for sure.
And well, here's the thing: I'm in, right? I've been in on the Tama Tonga camp, but I haven't seen it yet. To me, I'm waiting for it. Do you think he had? What did you think of his match with Elgin?
I thought that was very good too. A big first win for him in the tournament.
I thought it was okay.
Unexpected, that's for sure. I didn't think he was going to pick up a win over Elgin.
Me neither. I don't know, man. I'm waiting for that one thing to click. The slippery eel. I don't know. And again, listen, if anybody who listens to this show knows it takes me forever to fucking see the light.
Look at Naito.
I mean, right. The guy's headlining buildings, and I'm like, well, I'm not too sure about this gimmick.
It's like
guy's sticking from the top of the dome, and I'm like, I'm not sure. I don't know if I understand this stalling.
Yeah, this these LIJ handcuffs.
Yeah. So okay, listen,
every single person has an LIJ shirt on in the dome.
Right, everybody's chanting his name. I'm like, I don't think he's that over.
I don't think this is catching on. Right, they better rethink this. It's a bit Roman Reigns ish.
I don't see where this is going, Colin.
Me neither, Damon.
All right,
all the way to the main event of the Tokyo Dome. That's where it's going.
Right. Well, listen,
50,000 people are going to be there.
Yeah, you know, all with Los Ingobernables hats and teddy bears and shit. Lord. But,
speaking of teddy bears, how about the death of Daryl?
How about the fucking internet blowing up over that? Yeah, the death of Daryl. Daryl Takahashi, 2017 to 2017. Somebody hit me up and it was like, listen, on Snapchat of all places, right? I was like,
what? You have Snapchat?
But I had it for the show, right? Remember from when we went to Long Beach?
Okay.
I was like, remember I had it? Well, I never took it off my phone. So I had, you know, I get nonsense.
That's dangerous.
It is. Really,
oh,
it
Lord. Give that me that phone.
Like, wait. It's like the pictures disappear in 3 seconds. So it's like, okay, great. You know what? You take my phone. Somebody hit me up. I was like, what is it? And he's like, you should dedicate the this episode of the Pure Kiss to Daryl.
You know what I think he should do now?
What's that?
He should replace him with Derek. And Derek will basically be like a doll of you. Remember when Kevin Kelly called you Derek?
That's right. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we should just get him like a King Kong Bundy plushie.
The same thing. I mean, right. Come on.
Why not? But yeah, that was heartbreaking watching that. I mean, there were people in the. I think there were actually people literally upset.
Yeah.
Like there were people that were actually like, oh, that's a shame.
Rest in peace, Daryl. We hardly knew ye.
We really did. But I think we'll have something back soon. I'm hoping. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. So anyway, sounds like I enjoyed Omega versus Tama Tonga more than you did. A match that, well, actually, let's go back. We saw Toru Yano's pick up his first win against Kojima. You know, I called that. I thought that was pretty evident. Juice had a good match with Evil.
I agree. I think those two guys worked very well together. There were a couple spots there where it was like all the reversals. So it was like
Juice trying to hit the Pulp Friction and
yep.
Evil. That was great.
Yeah, that was something where, you know, I'm on the edge of my couch like, this is fucking good. They're rocking it. Juice has plenty of fire. Listen. I said Kota Ibushi's my MVP. I've said a million people are my MVP. That's getting to be
everybody's your MVP.
Really,
Yano's your MVP.
I know, really. He's such an important role. Let me be honest. And let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Everybody's got their working shoes on. Everybody's pulling out all stops. Everybody's taking whatever they need to do to get to hobble to the ring and put on a great performance. Who have you been disappointed with?
Nobody, really.
No one. No one has been like, somebody's got to be last, Colin. Somebody's got to be at the bottom of the pile. Who's not doing it for you this G1?
Damon, look, if I have to put somebody last, I mean, it'll probably be Fall A, I guess. But even then, like, he serves, like, an important purpose in the context of this tournament that I really can't, like, I feel bad putting him last because, you know, storyline-wise,
you getting that fucking bail tonight. Listen, Naito.
Yeah.
Naito takes a fucking fall.
That's right. And, you know, there is a nice, easy first briefcase defense for Tetsuya Naito. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So Fale's on your list there?
Yeah, but even then, like, I don't feel comfortable saying that because he serves a purpose. Yano serves a purpose. Kojima serves a purpose. Like, in my opinion, everybody's pulling their weight here so far.
I agree. If I had to go last, that's probably the hardest thing to go.
Look, if we're talking,
we're saying last on the top of a heap. You know, you're on top of a pile of greatness, and you just happen to be the last one in line, right?
Yeah.
Gun to my head.
Okay.
Probably Tama Tonga.
Boy, you really don't like Tama Tonga.
No. But that's not it. But again, it's not that I don't like him, because I do. Again, maybe it's my impatience.
What if
maybe
we're talking about match just match quality, bell to bell action? Like, I would put Yano last, I guess. Then,
but there is something about watching these matches with Yano where I'm in because that fucking thing could happen like that.
Unless it's
like
against Okada. Just saying.
I did bite one. I did have one of them.
What a gullible.
I am. I am a mark. But there is something about that in his matches where I'm kind of like, okay, literally it's me sitting there saying, oh my God, they're going to fuck him over. That's all I'm saying. The entire match with the Yano match. Oh my God, they're actually going to do this. Oh my God, they're going to fuck him over. And maybe I enjoy that. So maybe it's Yano. Maybe.
Yeah, if we're talking bell to bell quality, Yano.
And I hate to do that because I don't think he deserves it.
No, I don't think so either.
Okay. But okay, I'll go Yano. Why not?
I think everybody, for the most part, though, is really pulling their weight, and I don't think, like you said earlier, I don't think we've seen like a bad match that just like stunk up the joint. At least I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that either, and that's going up and down the roster. I haven't seen that yet. All right, so that's that. All right, where else are we here?
We mentioned we really enjoyed Suzuki versus Sonata. One of the things that Suzuki does, I love when they do that spot where he's really struggling to get that Gotch pile driver, and oh my God, is he going to get it? Oh wait, no. Mm-hmm. Sonata, like I think that's such a cool spot.
Yeah, agreed. He adds an air of legitimacy that
yes.
That I really appreciate, and maybe that's the Zach that I like in too. You know, maybe that's the one element I like in Zach too. Maybe it's not so much him being a great math teacher. Maybe it's
he's the cool chemistry teacher.
I love that analogy. I really do. Oh, it's so good. All right, that was good. What else we had that match? I know we're running short on time.
Talked about Omega, Tama Tonga, Elgin versus Okada. Now, if we're talking where I think Okada's in trouble, oh my God, when Elgin hit that first Elgin bomb, I was like, oh my God, this is it. He's getting a win over Okada. We're going to see Elgin versus Okada for the title. I truly believed in my heart of hearts that Elgin was going to win. And that, for me, is why I give this 5 stars, because, I mean, Okada has been on, I say it each and every week, it feels like, he's just been on this epic tear, this mad run. And for Elgin to make me really feel like that was in jeopardy, I mean, I just thought this was fantastic.
Elgin is such an underrated performer.
He is.
He really is. I find what he is able to do, his style. Like I like when you talk about the big beefy guy. Like he is that big beefy guy, but he's so agile and so, like it just like he took Okada's head off with a clothesline that I kid you not, I haven't seen a clothesline like that in just about all my life. I couldn't believe Okada could get up from a clothesline like that.
That was so great because like Okada was going for the Rainmaker and then Elgin countered with his own little Rainmaker. It was, oh, so good.
Unbelievable. And there was a definite point in that match where the tide turned. There was a couple doctor bombs, that occurred, but I don't know if it's because Cork and Hall crowds are conditioned that main events are going to go a certain time frame, right? Like they know that, okay, a main event pinfall is not going to happen in the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes. So it is a little bit of a slow build, right? And the crowd, it felt like to me, took a little bit to fucking hit another gear. But when they did, like, there is something about pro wrestling that where we watch and where we really enjoy it, right? And I don't know if this is this way for you, but for me it happens where you're watching a match and you're just so thoroughly enjoying it that you just start laughing. Right?
Oh yeah, I do that all the time actually.
Right, okay.
I did that this morning with Ishii and Bushi.
Right, and you're just like, holy fucking shit, right? And they did a shot of the crowd during this match where just people are just giddy. And the smiles on their faces and the noise and the clapping and they were just so fucking into it. Like that to me is what makes pro wrestling magic. Like when those things happen and like where something chemically happens within your body, whether it's endorphins or whatever, ask your friendly fucking chemistry teacher what it is, right?
Ask Zack Sabre Jr.
Ask Zack. Yeah. Ask him what happens to you physically when that happens. Because it happened during this match, and there's you could kind of feel your body just fucking getting into it, and oh my God, just again some of the clotheslines, the doctor bombs, like when Elgin did that superplex from the top, and there's the way Okada sells that is just magical, just fucking magical. I wanted it to keep going. The worst part about it was that it ended to me. Did I give it 5? You gave it 5, Colin, didn't you?
Yeah, I gave it 5 just because, like, for the first time in a long time, I was like, oh, my God, Okada's going to lose here. He's going to lose. He's going to suffer his first singles loss since, like, God, I can't even remember.
That would have been nice to have Elgin have that match. I would pay money to see an Elgin-Okada rematch. And it just sucks because to me it feels like Elgin gets lost in the shuffle a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
I know he doesn't. He's so talented.
Again, the body of work. If he doesn't win underrated or a little underrated thing, Like he's getting my top vote.
Oh, I think there's a good chance he's going to be in that category for sure. Unless he like wins the title this year, right. Like
he walks away, IWGP heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing with the five, right? I always say that it's a chemical thing, just like I talked to, right? Like you feel a five-star match.
Yeah.
And I felt that. Like I felt that in my gut. I felt that in my chest. And I felt that in my body. Why am I having
indigestion?
Oh, was that what that was? Oh, my bad. Like all the things that – all those little check marks that I talk about that you feel a five, I had. So why am I hesitant to give it a five?
Maybe something was missing. Maybe there was something that was missing for you personally. Or maybe all the feedback that we get from listeners, you know, telling us that we throw out fours, maybe that's kind of like in your mind.
Got me gun shy a little bit.
I don't want to be the guy that just throws out fives now.
I've thrown out more fives this year than I have in my entire fucking life.
Right? Well, look, this is 2017, and this is an abnormal year in pro wrestling, to say the least.
I can't give it five. I'll go ask. And this is the second time I've done this to fucking Mike. This is the second time I've done it to him.
Yeah, you wouldn't pull the trigger with the Naito match either.
Ass hair away.
Ass hair away from five. Okay.
Just the ass hair away. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm sorry. Three, four, and eight elevenths.
Wow. I've never seen Meltzer give that rating, but.
Well, listen. We're going to start a new trend. Eight elevenths. It's right there, man. I just, I don't know. I just can't fucking pull the trigger on the five, but boy, we're right fucking there. All right. Who cares? Great match. Loved it. And my hat's off to Okada, who's having, again, just a remarkable year, and Elgin the same. So God bless. All right. What do we got next?
Finally, let's talk about
now
this.
I'm depressed. Now I'm like, fuck, why don't I just give it up? Why do I got to be a sour fucking puss?
Hey, look, if you didn't feel it, then that's fine. That's fine.
That's what she said.
You'll know when it's in.
Let's move on. All right, here we go.
Let's talk about this morning's show a little bit. Right. Kicked off with Yoshihashi versus Zack Sabre Jr. Again, a good match. Great match.
Yep, we've said it 1,000 times. We talked about these two forever. We'd just be repeating.
Now, Damon, Zach has 4 points now. I believe that you had said on a on our G1 preview show, actually, that like Zach was going to be like under six, like that was his limit. He was going to be at like 4 points.
I thought he was going to be, you know, if you're cutting the block in half, he would be on the lower half. And I did say Yana was going to have more points at the end of the day than him. We got a long way to go here, mind you, but. Okay. Yeah.
You still sticking with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Yana will have more points than Zach. Yes.
Look
at that block.
I know. That's why I couldn't submit my pick'em, because I couldn't mathematically work it out. I sat there for a couple hours and finally I was like, this is more trouble than it's worth.
I got a fucking headache.
Right.
Yeah. I know.
I gotta go lie down. No, but seriously though. Yeah. You're absolutely right. This was a hard one. As far as determining winners and losers here, this was a difficult one. I don't know how Ghetto does it, but
yeah, neither do I. I mean, he's your friendly chemistry teacher.
All right,
he's your cool. Imagine him coming in. All right, motherfuckers.
See, I see him as more of like a
milligram.
I think he's more of like a driver's ed guy.
Him?
Like, yeah.
Can't see with the fucking bandana over his head. How's he driving?
Exactly.
Oh boy.
Tanahashi versus Yuji Nagata. We said earlier this was a pro wrestling match. I mean, these two guys, oh my god, when they were slapping the shit out of each other, and Yuji Nagata under his left eye, he's bleeding. Boy, was this just this is some classic pro wrestling right here.
I mean, it wasn't a gusher, like, and it wasn't, you know, but isn't there something to be said? And trust me, I don't want this to be me saying people should be taking liberties with one another, but when an accident happens, a little accidental blood occurs, boy, it does really you start elevating the match, right? It does become a little bit more, I don't even want to say entertaining, but it does, you pay attention. Your eyes widen a little bit. Yeah, these were two great pro wrestlers having a great pro wrestling match. This match kind of like puts me in that, okay, Tanahashi still has plenty in the tank. When I see a performance like that, and again, a very hard-hitting physical style pro wrestling match, again, not an Ishii Makabe, but a still very hard-hitting pro wrestling match.
Yes.
But two guys taking care of each other, right? Two guys, two pros in the ring. It really makes me think that there's more in the tank for Tanahashi in this G1. And Yuji Nagata, I think he's if this is in fact his last G1, which he says it is, I mean, how could you fucking not like a Yuji Nagata? You know what I mean? How can you not get behind a guy like that? How can you not root for a guy like that? And everybody in that house was, right?
I was rooting for him. I really wanted him to, you know, when Tanahashi hit that cross body high fly flow, I was like, oh, no, it's just, here we go. Damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt the same way. I did feel the same way when he hit it and I knew the three count was coming. I was like, fuck. That would have been a nice moment.
Well, don't worry, Damon. That Fale match is coming up towards the end of the tournament, and that'll send the people home happy. Speaking of Fale, his match against Naito, I thought that this was a better match than the one he had against Tanahashi.
I liked it. This was the match where I thought Fale was going to have a heart attack, though.
Yeah.
There were a couple times where there was a bump and both guys were down, and you just saw it looked like Fale's chest was hitting the ceiling because he was just like, whoo. And listen, I'm not knocking the guy. I couldn't go 2 seconds, in there doing what he's doing. But he, again, I worry about him in that scenario because it looked like he was sucking some serious wind. But I like this match a lot. I think Fale's having a great tournament as well. There's some, we sound like a broken record, but I can't wag my finger at many people in this tournament. Everybody's got their working shoes on and then everybody's trying hard. And once again, what we did here in this match was that bad luck fall.
Protected.
You're in it, you're dead. Yeah, you're in it, you're dead. And I don't care who it is, which is great. Fucking Naito, the hottest guy in the fucking company. 1, 2, 3, you got caught. See ya, we're moving on. Love it. I think we sit here and wag our finger about some of the stuff New Japan does and some of the decisions that they make. You can't have any bones about that. If somebody gets caught in a finishing move, nobody's kicking out. Fucking love it.
That's right. And again, looking at this in the context of the rest of the year, if this is a Naito G1 year, I mean, here's a good briefcase defense for Naito at a King of Pro Wrestling or a Destruction.
Yeah.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah, if that comes too, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Kota Ibushi versus Tomohiro Ishii. Look, everything I thought it would be and more. These guys are just on a completely different level. Two of my favorite guys in the company right now. I don't know really what more I could say about it.
I love this match, man. To me, it's a two dog race for match of the tournament so far.
Yeah.
This one and Elgin and Okada. And personally, I'm probably going this match first. I love the fact that Ibushi was right there swinging toe to toe with Ishii.
How good are his kicks, by the way? Ibushi's kicks.
Some of the best. I mean, he's got that kick pad to the chest thing where, it's probably more deadly sounding than it actually is, but
yeah.
He's got that down pat. I mean, two of the best in the world going at it. How do you talk? Where are you with this? You didn't go five on this, did you?
No, I didn't go five because let me see if I can explain this to you. The reason that I went five with the Elgin Okada match was again partially because Okada, I just didn't think that there was any chance that he could lose, and then I kind of changed my opinion in the Elgin match because I really believed that there was a chance Elgin could win. And this, there wasn't that element in it
Really?
If you know what I mean. I don't know if I'm making much sense here.
No. I mean, so the chances of Elgin beating Okada would mean more in the grand scheme of things than Ibushi beating Ishii.
Right, because with Ibushi and Ishii, it was like, okay, Ibushi could win or Ishii could win.
Right. But if Michael Elgin wins, the ramifications of that is pretty big. It's important.
Right. And that match made me believe at a certain point that Elgin was winning. I really thought it was over after that one powerbomb. And I don't know, it was just it got kicked into a certain gear for me. This match, like, I didn't like it any less, but I feel like I can't go five. I feel like I'm in the 4.5 to 4.75 territory with this match. I'm definitely going to go back and watch it again later today because, I mean, it was great, but there was a certain dramatic element that just wasn't there for me like it was the Elgin Okada match.
I can see that. I think that makes perfect sense. I as well. I'm not going the full marks, but again, I think we're ass hairs away. Both matches will be memorable. To me, this match was my favorite so far. The G1 with Elgin and Okada second, and again, we're only a few nights in. That's what's scary. What is frightening is that we are only a handful of nights in, and we have so much more to go. That what a ride! What a wonderful 2017.
And you know what, Damon? After this match was over, I felt really bad because I forgot that there was a man. Like, I thought this was the main event.
Me too.
I forgot about Makabe versus Goto, and of course, this was the main event because Makabe was in his hometown here, and you know, it was the. It was a good booking decision, you know, send the hometown crowd home happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And again, I think we said it before, Makabe having a performance that we haven't seen from him in quite a long time. Goto, I don't want to say carried and helped, but you need two to tango. I enjoyed it. I knew that was going to be a tough spot to follow, too, because just like you said, I had forgotten about it as well. And then I'm thinking, well, how the fuck are these two guys going to, go on after that great match. And again, it wasn't in the same league as Ishii and Ibushi, but I feel like they held their own. I feel like they had a great match. The fans were behind Makabe, which helped tremendously. Makabe found some inner strength and a fountain of youth and did, again, he got the tap on the shoulder, Colin. He got the tap on the shoulder to say, hey, I need you to have a great match. And I feel like at the very least, this is a very good match.
Let's take a look at our standings now. Start with the A block. Okay. We've got Fale with 4 points. Mm-hmm. Naito, 4 points. Mm-hmm. Goto, 4 points. Zach, 4 points. Tanahashi, 4 points. Ibushi, 4 points.
Yeah.
And then Yoshihashi, Ishii, Makabe with 2 points. And coming in last place, Yuji Nagata with 0 points.
Well, again,
still early.
Yeah, it's very early. A lot, everybody's in the mix. Can't say that there's too many surprises, to be truthful. I mean, it was either, either they're going to give Nagata a nice little run and somebody else was going to go 0-for, or they're going to do what they do and Nagata goes 0-for. So, but everybody else is in the mix. Not shocking there as we're early in G1. What do we got in Blee?
We have Okada and Omega, both with 4 points apiece. Suzuki, 2 points. Sonata, Tamatanga, Evil, Yano, Juice Robinson, all with 2 points.
Okay.
And Elgin and Kojima with 0 points.
Huh. Kind of surprised by that, right? I mean, again, it's early, but man, what the fuck did Elgin do?
He must have pissed somebody off.
I mean, seriously, can we fucking talk off the record here? What the fuck is going on with Michael Elgin? For a guy who seems to get on the short end of the stick this year, he's making the most of the opportunities that he has, right? He's proving people that, okay, kayfabing, we're you know, the best win-loss record, but fucking putting on a performance. I'm sure that'll change as we move on, but yeah, kind of. When you said it, it was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, it was kind of jarring to hear that.
Yeah. Big Mike will be there, though. I think Big Mike will be, he'll come on strong. I hope. If not, all Japan's waiting for it. All right.
Well, the G1 Climax 27 will resume on Tuesday, July 25th. I'm just going to briefly go through the matches there. We've got Kojima versus Elgin. So there's a place where Elgin can pick up a win, right?
Right. I think so. I think that's a safe guess.
Tamatanga versus Evil. That should be interesting. I know you're not looking forward to it, though, Damon, because you're a Tamatanga hater.
I am not. I don't want that going around. I don't. I'm nipping that in the bud. I'm not.
All right.
I want a great match. I want a great Tamatanga match that I know is there.
I feel you.
I know. He's gonna say, I don't gotta fucking impress anybody, but okay, I get it.
Whatever. Doesn't have to impress you.
Least
of all.
Story of my life. Trust me, I know that.
Juice Robinson versus Suzuki. I can't wait to see what that looks like.
That should be fun, right?
Yano versus Kenny Omega.
Listen, if you're looking for Kenny Omega nonsense, I think that's the match.
Oh, here, this is going to be T-shirt Kenny Omega.
Oh, he's gonna have three T-shirts on.
Yeah, he's gonna have a sweater, a turtleneck sweater.
He's gonna have a snowsuit on.
They need to sell those elite turtleneck sweaters.
Yeah, it'd be great. This is gonna be a nonsense shenanigan filled match. Yep, absolutely.
And the main event: Okada versus Seiya Sanada.
I know your pants are down on that.
Oh, they sure are.
The pants are fucking unbuckled and on the floor. Well, I think mine might be too. On paper, that sounds really, really cool.
Boy, that'd be something to see Okada defend the IWGP Heavyweight Title at King of Pro Wrestling against Sanada, main event, Sumo Hall. Boy, that'd be something.
You think we got a Sanada win here?
I don't think anything. I'm just saying that'd be something.
I'm asking you.
All right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's big. That's big, Colin Miller.
But you know what? Right. There is a part of me that thinks, boy, would you be shocked if Okada just fucking steamrolled through everyone in this tournament? Imagine
he hasn't lost yet, right?
No, he hasn't lost yet. What if he doesn't lose up until, like, what if you did? Like, look, I don't think they're going to do this, but what if you had Kenny Omega and Okada, like, not have a single loss
until they have to meet in the finals?
Yeah.
Or the semifinals?
Yeah.
Huh.
That'd be crazy.
And make that match fucking interesting, wouldn't it?
It sure would.
What do you think the likelihood of that happening?
Not very likely, but, you know,
really?
It's...
Seriously, really?
Look, I think they... Each of them has to have a loss or two because...
Really?
For the purpose of title defenses down the line.
Okay. All right.
I mean, we want to see Yano challenge for the U.S. title.
Kyle, imagine that fucking final. And imagine the intrigue. So both these guys are going neck and neck. Nobody's losing. And the interest that people have as... All right, who's going to lose? Who's going to be the first person to slip on a fucking banana peel? It doesn't happen. It doesn't fucking happen. They're neck and neck. They're neck and neck until finally, wow, that semifinal really means something.
Yeah.
That third match in the trilogy really means something.
It's just
Colin, you might fucking...
Did I tap into something?
You might. You might have.
Damn, I should have submitted that bracket. Shit.
You'd have a nice Gaijin collectible prize pack.
I would.
Fuck. That's interesting, Colin. That's an interesting scenario you just mapped out there, kid.
And then just very quickly, the matches for the Wednesday show, going back to the A block, we have got Ishii versus Yoshihashi. That should be great, actually.
Ishii versus Yoshihashi.
Yeah.
Again, on paper, I'm like, what the fuck? Probably be good.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be very good. Zach versus Fale. Here's your first Zach loss of the tournament.
Probably, right?
Yeah. I don't see how he's going to manipulate Fale into one of those fancy shoot holds that all these kids are raving about.
Yeah, okay. I'm on board with the Fale win. Okay, what else we got?
Makabe versus Ibushi. Two old rivals, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Ibushi probably still a little sore from not winning that fucking Never Belt.
Yeah. I'm still a little sore from Ibushi not winning that Never Belt.
Still carrying that weight with you. Huh?
Yeah, a little bit. Right. Hey, look, I'm in therapy trying to work through some of this stuff, but right. It's not
you
easy.
Got a team of experts. They're like, what is an Ibushi, Colin? You don't understand. I'm going to go Ibushi. Why not? I'm going Ibushi.
Yuji Nagata versus Tetsuya Naito. Mm. Should be great.
I don't think Naito can afford another loss, can he? He's got one, right?
He's got one against Fale. Don't worry, Damon. Yuji Nagata is not going to win this.
Yeah, Naito's got that one. Yeah. Okay, next.
And then, look, I'm not excited for this main event, but I know it's going to be great. Tanahashi versus Goto. Like, that match sounds so bland to me when I say it out loud. It's like, whatever. But
you know it's going to be great.
Right. I feel bad. I know I'm going to walk away saying it was great.
That's main eventing?
Yeah, that's main eventing.
It's going to be good, Colin.
I know it is, but I'm not that excited for it.
I know.
Because I'm going to hear that Go Haste theme. And just screams to me, here comes one of the old veterans coming down the aisle. Like, that's what that theme says.
Yeah, just mute it. Just fucking mute it.
I wish they would do that for that theme, and they would play the Purocast theme for when Makabe comes out.
I know. I do get disappointed when I don't hear it. I'm like, fuck, I really would like to hear that. Get me fucking hyped up.
All right, everyone.
Yeah, all right. Welcome. It's going to be great. That's going to be a great match, Colin. Trust me on that. It'll be great. I know on paper it doesn't sound sexy. You're not getting your cute science teacher. Here's what you're getting. You're getting the grizzled history teacher.
Right.
Who's tried it true.
He's been through some shit.
He's been through some, maybe a divorce, maybe a battle with alcoholism, but he's there for you, man.
It's the kind of guy that goes home and pours the glass of scotch after the long day.
Goes home. It's sitting in his fucking bottom drawer at his desk.
Right.
And then the bell rings. He's cracking it open. He's got a short sleeve button down shirt.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, with a tie. Yeah. He's that guy. Yeah.
He's like Michael Douglas from Falling Down.
Now you're talking. Good. That's it. It's going to be good. Trust me on that one. I think we're in for a treat.
I've got one final thing to say here on today's episode of the Purocast, and it's about...
I have two final things, so you go ahead first.
Let me go first, because I have just a little bit of bitching to do. Look, NJPW World has not been going so smoothly during the course of this G1 tournament, and like this is the part of the year where you really want your streaming service to be solid. Lots of people on Twitter, I've been talking to them, that they're having issues with Chromecast and with the Fire Stick, I believe. A lot of people, I've noticed this when I'll be in the middle of a match, right? And this has happened several times now. And I just get this error message and it stops playing.
On Chromecast.
On Chromecast, and a few people said it was doing the same thing for the Fire Stick as well.
All right. Let me share a story with you.
Okay.
Half of the show today, I streamed on Chromecast. And then it did what you fucking told me last night.
See?
It did do that. So I watched the second half of the show on my iPad. So, yes, I did get that error message as well. I don't know what the issue is with that.
At first, it was only for the English feed. Which...
Yeah, I told you to go Japanese feed, and it was fixed, right? Well, I went Japanese feed today, and it gave me that error. So I don't know. Give us some feedback, kids. Are you having trouble with your Chromecast, your streaming device? Is it a problem across the board? We'd be curious to hear. Colin would be curious to hear.
Yeah, and you know what I did today? The workaround was I just went to njpwworld.com on Chrome, and I had to cast the tab. You know how you can do that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which, you know, in the grand scheme of things, isn't that big of a deal. But still, I mean, if anyone from New Japan is listening to this right now, anybody who's tech savvy, you know, get this, nip this in the bud if you can. Yeah.
Please. That's 2017. All. That's
right.
What we're saying.
Right.
All right. Is that your one, or you got another one on docket?
That's my only thing. Damon, the floor is yours.
All right. Well, listen. Hey, I got good news.
Oh, good news, Damon. I love that.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often, but here's some good news. So I'm on the classic board, the classic Japanese board, right? You know which one we're talking about, right? And I see this picture. It's our logo. And the guy goes, I'm representing the podcast. It's a button. You know, it's one of those little, you know, like safety pin buttons, circular plastic things. You know, you've seen them, what bands have them and all.
Yeah.
But it's our logo. And I'm like, fuck, this is great. This dude just went out and just made this thing. So I hit him up and I was like, so what can we do to get some of these buttons? I mean, these are great. I'll you know, he's like, my man, I got you taken care of. And I was like, you are all right. So the gentleman's name is Luis Prado, P-R-A-D-O, and he has a little company. You can check him out on Instagram. Please do. So he makes all these cool custom buttons and pins. It's one. It's at the number one, THGOODS. It's one. It's pronounced one. And they make all these buttons. Follow them on Instagram. Follow them on Facebook. Get a hold of them. He really makes some cool creative stuff. And just our logo. So he's going to make a bunch of our little buttons for us. I'll have a handful of them. Maybe we'll have them as giveaways. Maybe I'll just random. I'll see you at a show. I'll give you a button. But I was a huge fan, and I couldn't thank him enough because I don't know. When people do shit like that, that just like – and you see that randomly, I don't know. It makes you feel good inside. So my hat's off. Wunth, it's pronounced W-U-N-T-H, but it's spelled at – the number one, THGOODS, on Instagram. Check them out. Good quality stuff, and they're going to help us out and help them out because by helping them out, it helps us out, and everyone's all happy and high-fiving each other. All right? So that's that on that.
Awesome. God bless him. What's the next thing?
You know, again, I'm at a 1 or I'm at 11, right? We know these kids, right? But I do want to thank everyone who did reach out. It's very kind of a lot of people who took the time to make sure that a good old Damon is doing all right. And look, it's always a fucking struggle, but I'll be fine. And I appreciate it. And thank you from the bottom of my cold black heart. So tranquilo, fist bump, hand in the air to each and everybody who reached out. So I appreciate it. Thanks.
And you know, Damon, I'll always be there for the next major breakdown.
You know what's coming, right? Of course,
yep.
You do. But it's fun. It keeps it interesting, right? Look, you know, Colin, there's nothing better than getting that text at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Change the Twitter password, Colin.
Look, things happen. What do you want from me?
What an animal.
Listen,
but we love you because of it.
I appreciate that. All right. So, let's wrap it up, Colin. I got a very busy life I got to lead here.
Alrighty, there you go, folks. 2 solid hours for you today to make up for the missed show last weekend. But of course, we just want to thank each and every one of you for always being there for us and listening to us. We have the best
2 years.
Yeah, that's right. Best fans in the world going 2 years strong. Thank you guys for coming along for the ride and sticking around. Damon and I really love to do this each and every week. It's a great joy for us, and we're going to continue doing it for as long as we can. So remember, NewJapanPuroCast.com, your one-stop shop for all things PuroCast. Links to Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, our RSS feed, the whole gamut. You can find it on there. And, of course, we're up on the great Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. They have that great Pick'em tournament that Damon and I did not participate in this year, but we hope you guys certainly did.
Yes.
We're usually up there each and every Monday afternoon, so you can check us out on there as well. And I think that about does it for today's episode. Any final words, Damon?
Enjoy the G1, kids. This is a great time to be alive. We'll be back to cover it all, but yeah, it's good stuff. And not for nothing, let's close it out with this. If you enjoy this show, again, I'm blown away by 2 years. Thank Colin. Colin puts in a lot of the work, a lot of the hustle, the editing, making sure that we sound professional, making so sure that we're not stepping on too many toes.
Psychological counseling,
he's there. So, again, I think if you enjoy this show, show some love for Colin this week because, like I said, I've never done anything that lasted 2 years, right? Colin's a big part of that. So hats off to him, and thank you for listening, kids.
Thank you for that, Damon, and thank you guys for listening. We shall be back next weekend with more coverage of the G1 Climax 27. So, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys next time. Enjoy the G1.